Blog Talk Radio.
Seekers of the Truth, this is the 113th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Defeating the Evil One, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer. Yes, Lucifer. And we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, and of course be all over the Bible with supporting scriptures to this teaching. Now, the evil one, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer, has three characteristics that we're going to cover in this message today. First, he's a decided fact. Second, a destructive foe. And most importantly, he's a defeated foe. Now, in this message, we're going to learn how to defeat Satan. And it's not by mastery over the devil. It's by knowing the master of the devil himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we defeat Satan. Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew 6:13. Where he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this implies danger, and danger is from evil itself, the evil one, Satan. Now, evil truly is a destructive force, as Jesus warned us in John chapter 10, verse 10. But praise Jesus, because we have weapons to overcome the wiles of the devil. And our number one weapon against the enemy is prayer. Yes, prayer It's not only for grandmothers in nursery school. Prayer. Prayer. It's like a heat-seeking missile aimed right at Satan. Remember, the Bible says the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer to teach us how to use prayer as a weapon of spiritual warfare as we wear our full armor of God. Now, this message, and let me add before I go on, remember that full armor, his belt of truth, which is your integrity, his breastplate of righteousness, which is your purity, his shoes of the gospel of peace, which are your tranquility and stability, his helmet of salvation, which is your sanity, his shield of faith, which is your confidence, and his sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is the full armor of God. And you can learn more about that in a past message of SDG. I'll mention it later on. You know, Jesus gave us this Lord's Prayer to pray, to use as a weapon in our spiritual warfare with this full armor of God. And in this message, we're going to learn how to be bold as believers, empowered by prayer and all that Jesus had that he's given to us. So let's learn how to overcome the evil one and gain victory over the devil. Now, this message is also a call to arms. So don't view it as an alarm only. It's a call to arms because when we're saved, we're called into a battle. This isn't a Sunday school picnic or some religious playground like so many churches are turning the entire experience into. No. It's a no-holds-barred fight to the finish against the sinister minister of evil himself, Satan. So remember, we're up against the demonized and mobilized forces of hell itself, led by none other than Lucifer. So let's consider these following biblical truths to embolden us and give us rock-ribbed confidence to resist the devil and win one for the king. That's Jesus Christ. You know, Satan is a decided fact, like I opened with. So when we walk about this life, when we just walk about, okay, the devil is there, okay, and he's real, and he's not some medieval superstition or some figment of someone's overactive imagination. He's not. We're talking about biblical truth here. The devil is a present-day reality, and Jesus instructed us to pray daily, deliver us from the evil one. Now, first, let's consider his personality. So let's look at this this person, yes, he's a person with all the attributes of personhood. And Peter compared him to a lion. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So Peter warns us to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walks about, how? Like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you were walking in a lion-infested jungle, wouldn't you be wary? Well, Satan is a bitter enemy of God and his people, so we truly need to be sober and vigilant concerning these matters, yet so few Christians are. You know, whenever you want a blessing, we all know this, think of the names of Jesus. Just lift praises up to him. And when you do that, you're blessed. And if you want a warning, think about the names of the devil. He's called the deceiver, the liar. Satan is called a murderer by Jesus himself and the accuser of the brethren. He's also a tempter and the prince of the power of the air and a destroyer and the evil one. But not only his personality, let's also look at his position. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul wrote, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, once long ago, the devil, also known as Lucifer, inhabited heaven and was the covering cherub, like we learned last week, of our Most High God himself. So Lucifer served God as God's highest and most powerful angel, and then he fell. Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 through 7 gives us the story. You know, and it says, when he fell, he brought along with him one-third of all the angels of heaven. And later on, some of the offspring of their unholy unions with the daughters of men became disembodied spirits known as demons when they died. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. So these are Satan's dark angels and his evil minions. And that's who we battle over. The Bible refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. Now, the devil, along with his demonic spirits, not only control individuals, but also nations. You know, in the story of Daniel, when he's waiting for an answer from God, Michael the archangel said, I had to battle the prince of Persia for 21 days to get here. Now, do you think he was fighting the prince of Persia? No, he was fighting the prince of the powers of the air. Each country has a demonic entity controlling it. That's what that's telling us right there. Now, so far, we've looked at his personality and his position. Now, let's look at his power. Satan has great, great power, but it's a usurped power. But it would be a folly to underestimate this power of the devil. It's just like our government today. They can operate under just power or de jure power, but no, they've chosen to usurp power, and they're operating de facto now. And that is what Satan is doing here and now, right now. So it would be a folly to laugh at his power and say he doesn't have any. He's operating under this usurped or de facto power. That's why Jesus warned us that when we pray, we must pray for deliverance from this evil one. So Satan is very powerful, yielding this usurped or de facto power. It's might by right, as the saying goes. And Jesus tells us in Acts 26:18 to open our eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. How? By faith that is in who? Jesus. Praise the Lord. So Satan yields this usurped, supernatural, dark, devilish power. And it's an unholy killing power. So the devil is a very powerful individual. Now let's look at his purpose. So what is Satan's unholy ambition? Well, it's simple. He's a rebel in revolt against Almighty God. And his purpose is to pull God down from his throne. Now, that may sound foolish to you, but remember, the devil has been deceived by his own pride and the sin that dwells in his heart. We learned about that last week. Remember, the Bible says that his wisdom is corrupted because of his pride. Pride comes before the fall, as the Bible teaches us. And before his fall, Satan was Lucifer. Yes, Lucifer, the most high and glorious angel of all heavens. And yes, I'm saying that. Satan was Lucifer. Now, the Bible says his heart was filled up because of his pride, and then came the fall. In the King James Bible, and you have to read this in the King James Bible, Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 15 read, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Yet thou shalt be brought down to where? Hell. Now, the New International Version reads, in verses 12 and 14, How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? But you were brought down where? To the grave. What? And likewise, the New American Standard and all the modern versions read almost exactly like the NIV, all except for the New King James. Now, historically, Isaiah 14 has been cited throughout church history as the singular biography and identification as Lucifer being Satan. In the entire Bible. So that's why the Luciferians are so hell-bent on removing the word Lucifer from the modern translations in Isaiah 14, verse 12. In verse 12 of the King James Bible, Lucifer is in heaven. And in verse 15, Satan is in hell. And the context of Isaiah 14 establishes that Lucifer and Satan are one and the same being. Now beware, because all the new versions have removed the name Lucifer and the reference to falling to hell. And by doing so, they're eliminating the only reference to the true identity and the person behind the title Satan. Yes, Satan is essentially a title, the accuser of the brethren. So who's the person behind the office? That's Lucifer himself. And that's the only place we have this connection is in Isaiah 14, verse 12 and 15. We also covered it last week in Ezekiel 28, but it was a reference to the covering cherub. And that cherub's name is Lucifer. Now get this. This change in these modern versions isn't the result of some translation discovery from the Hebrew language. No, this is a Luciferian conspiracy. Tell your pastor this and have him contact me. I'll show him. The church must know this in these end times. And there is proof. Now here's the proof. The Hebrew here in Isaiah 14:12, and I don't speak Hebrew, so just bear with me here, okay? Is Hillel ben Shakar, which literally translates Lucifer, son of the morning. And by the way, this is found in all the Old English translations written before the 1611 King James, so you can find it in the Tyndale, the Wycliffe, the Geneva, the Bishop's Bible. It's in all of them. Lucifer. Falling where? To hell. Now, the NIV, the NASB, the New Living Translation, and all other modern translations read as though the Hebrew that was actually there in the scroll of Isaiah was Kokab Shakar Ben Shakar. And it's just simply not there. And that would translate morning star, son of the dawn, or son of the morning. Now get this. Not only is the Hebrew word for star, which is Kokab, nowhere in this text, morning appears only once as only properly translated by the King James. And not twice as all the modern translations are doing. So what's going on here? What's up? And furthermore, Kokab is translated as star dozens of times in the modern translations. So what's up? And additionally, these modern editors also knew that Kokab Boker is morning star because it appears in the plural form in Job chapter 38, verse 7. You know, just go back and replay this and take some notes or email me and I'll send you a transcript of this portion of the message so you can share it with your pastor. And then go into the Strong's and see if what I'm telling you isn't true. So if the Lord intended this passage to say morning star in Isaiah 14:12, he would have eliminated any confusion by repeating the Hebrew words kokab boker in Isaiah 14:12. But he didn't. God's selection of Hallel, Hebrew for Lucifer, is unique as it appears nowhere else in the entire Old Testament. That word is used once. Check your Strong's and see if what I'm saying is not true. It's used one time in the entire Old Testament, Isaiah 14:12. And the Hebrew word Hallel means Lucifer. And furthermore, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, they all clearly declare that Jesus Christ is the morning star or the day star. Not Lucifer. And not the individual who fell to hell in Isaiah 14:12. Now this term Hallel refers to this term morning star refers to the sun, not the planet Venus. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus says that. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you. He's talking to John in the Revelation. These things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star is the sun. So please understand that calling Lucifer the morning star, as the modern translations are doing in Isaiah 14:12, is not derived from the Hebrew of the Old Testament. It isn't. But rather it's from classical mythology and witchcraft, where Lucifer is connected to the planet Venus, which these occultists and pagans call the morning star. In fact, you can read about this in Madame Blavatsky's Theosophical Writings, Isis Unveiled and the Secret Doctrine. Now, if we go to Volume 2 of the Secret Doctrine, Blavatsky calls Lucifer Venus on page 17. I have a copy of it. It's right there. I pulled it out of my book for this message. And on page 195, she wrote, get this, for Lucifer is the Logos in his highest. Wrong! The Logos is Jesus Christ, not Lucifer in his highest. Read John chapter 1. Read the first 9 or 10 verses. And then on page 550, Blavatsky refers to Lucifer as the day star. And guess what? She influenced, by these writings, the founders of all modern biblical translations and all these errors, the theosophists themselves, Cottenhort. And perhaps if the Lord leads me, we can do a message on them. They are the people behind all these modern translations. And you know what? They did not believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God. I have it in their own words. Read their letters to one another, and you'll see what I mean. They do not fit Paul's chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 criteria for the ministers of Christ and the stewards of mystery of God. They are not faithful to the Logos, Jesus Christ and his word. And these are their words, not mine. So this wording in the modern versions reads as if the fall recorded in Isaiah 14 is speaking of Jesus rather than Lucifer the devil. You see how sick this stuff is? And the use of the term morning star in place of Lucifer in this passage has to be viewed by the church as nothing less than blasphemy. And then the NSAV even deepens this lie and this conspiracy by placing 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 in the reference next to Isaiah 14:12, which further solidifies this mistaken notion that Isaiah 14 refers to Christ Jesus falling rather than Satan. Isn't this sick? So just remember, Hillel is rightly translated as Lucifer by the King James and does not mean morning star. Lucifer is Latin from lux or lucis for light plus pharaoh, which means to bring, meaning the bright one or the light bearer or the light bringer. In Ezekiel 28 last week, we learned that this also is referring to the covering cherub, which Lucifer is. Now, due to the brightness of this planet Venus, like I said, in the ancient times, the pagans and all of these occult practitioners used the term Lucifer or Hillel in Latin to associate with Venus. And that's where these modern translations got all this craziness from. Isn't this sick? Now, among all the modern versions, the only modern version which is true to this translation, and I covered this in detail here, and I hope you understand it, is the New King James, which also gives proof that Lucifer is Satan. And without this testimony, this central vital truth of the person behind the office of Satan is lost. And these truths alone set the King James Bible far apart and far above all the modern translations. And remember, all the older English versions also read Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12. So I've tried to do this as clearly and as faithfully as I could to sound this warning in these last days. Tell everyone, including your pastors, Lucifer is Satan. Now, if this doesn't alarm you, it's pointless to continue listening to this message. So just turn it off, please. But if you understand how serious this is, listen on, because we're going to learn victory over Jesus. I mean, victory over Satan through Jesus. We are. Jesus said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, no, they shall never pass away. So that's why I'm standing up right now and giving you an accurate understanding of Isaiah 14:12. So this is why we must read this passage in the King James and why all the other modern versions are falling victim to academic pride and the prince of the air, who's in charge of that, has a name, and his name is Belial. And they're all claiming Lucifer is not the devil. And remember, that's because the Freemasons and the Theosophists worship Lucifer as God. So they can't make an association between Lucifer and the office of the accuser or Satan. So as soon as Lucifer said, remember, this is the truth from the Word of God. As soon as Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High God, God thundered from heaven and cast Lucifer out. And Jesus said in Luke 10:18, and he, that's Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. So Lucifer was banished from heaven. No longer Lucifer, son of the morning. He became Satan, father of the night. And his devils fell with them. And now they remain in revolt against our almighty God. And he really thinks he can do it. But remember, he's deceived. And he is the deceiver. So what's his plan? How's he going to do it? Well, remember, his chief weapon is deception. So Satan is a deceptive foe. And he deceives that he might deprave, that he might destroy, that he might damn us to eternal separation from God in hell with him and his fallen angels. In Ephesians chapter 6:11, Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God that I mentioned earlier in the message, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then while we're standing, what do? We pray. And remember, this word wiles is a word in English that we get our word method from. So the devil is very methodical, and he's willing to wait as long as it takes. Do you ever watch a cat when they're ready to pounce on a mouse? They just sit there, and they'll wait for half an hour if they have to. That's like Satan is, the roaring lion ready to devour. He'll wait, and he'll even allow you to succeed further in your sin before you fall so you can fall further. Now, he'll let you get away with your sin so that your sin may further entrap you and snare you and pull you further away from God. So he's very patient and methodical in his deception. And then he's also, point two, you know, a destructive force. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:14, deliver us from the evil one. Now, when you think about deliverance, you think about danger and destruction. I mean, that's what we usually typically think about. And I pray that you're made supernaturally aware of this danger and destruction, these dangerous and destructive forces of the devil in this study? You know, the Bible's teaching us that in the end times there will be great resurgences of demonic power. We're already starting to see it now. And today, there's great interest among many people of the occult. You know, you go in the bookstore today, and you're going to find very little, if any, section on classic Christianity. But you're going to find row upon row on the occult, astrology, witchcraft, demonology. And now these things hold great appeal to many people today because they have true power. But it's not a power that we should seek after. And it's not a knowledge that we should drive to attain. It really isn't. Because this stuff like, you know, people want to have knowledge of the future and contact with the dead. And our world's infested with this desire. But we have to be so, so very careful, okay? And you may be thinking, well there's nothing to be concerned about because these fortune tellers and these soothsayers, they're just frauds. You know, and maybe you dabble in the horoscope or flirt with the occult or you go to fortune tellers, like I mentioned. But you are in areas where angels fear to tread and wise men ought not go, you know? Truly, truly, because some of these people, you know, a lot of them are frauds, but some have literally made pacts with the devil. And when you visit them, they're telling you things about yourself, not because they're communicating with your departed loved one, but because they are in contact with a demonic entity that either know or know about your loved one. So stay away from them. And just remember that when they're saying, oh, I've contacted your departed loved one, no. They've conjured up a demon. And the demon knows about your loved one. And they're putting a twisted lie in there. And the Bible calls this occult practice necromancy, and it's forbidden. And maybe others of you are really into the horoscope, you know. You call it harmless, and you view it as entertainment. But it isn't. My niece, she's a cantor in her church. She's into it. When I warn her about it, she only laughs. But the Bible warns against all of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, it reads, There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So there's also this great explosion of drug abuse. We're dealing with a dear friend right now who's working diligently by the power of Jesus Christ to overcome this right now. Her name is Robin, so please remember Robin in your prayers. There's going to be a victory for Jesus, and then she's going to be able to help others. Her name is Robin. Please pray for her. But this great explosion of drug abuse, it's also satanic, and it was warned about in the Bible. Yes, in the Bible. In fact, the Bible tells us that the drug abuse will be one of these chief sins in the end times. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, these are the big four of the great tribulation. Murders, sorceries, fornication, and theft. Now think about it. Aren't those the big four issues in our filthy world today? Now maybe you're wondering, well, what about this word sorceries? Well, the term sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmakia, pharmacy, pharmaceuticals, and it literally means an enchanter with drugs. So the devil opens the people's minds to these mystical experiences through the use of drugs. And the Bible warns us in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the use of drugs destroys a man's mind, and the Bible calls that sorcery, and the devil himself is behind it. Another big tool the devil uses is false doctrine. First letter of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I'm going to run out of time here, so catch this in the archive. It's got a powerful finish, I believe. Praise Jesus. So when you look for the workings of the devil, remember, be wary of even those preaching from the pulpits. We've covered that in some of the past messages. You know, Paul warned us about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, where he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And we covered that in a lot of detail last week. And then he continues, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So these ministers from pulpits across the country and around the world are teaching false doctrines and of a false Christ. They have another spirit operating in them, a spirit other than the Holy Spirit of our Most High God. And so Satan has warped and twisted their minds, deceiving them through pride to accept his subtle lies as truth as they build their mega churches and all the things we covered in the Seeker Sensitive series. And another way Satan becomes a dangerous foe and a destructive force is through the media and the entertainment industry. You know, take the airwaves, for example, television and radio. They're crucial tools for Satan. Remember, he's called the prince of the power of the air. And by his very nature, he's a musical being. Remember last week in Ezekiel 28, verse 13, we read, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." So he was referred to here as a great being in regards to music, you know, thy tabrets and thy pipes. You know, and he was the light bearer. And all these things tell me he's the master of the media with the razzle and the dazzle. And where are we seeing it now? We're seeing it being brought into our next generation seeker-sensitive church growth type movements where they use all the methods of mass media to razzle and dazzle you. And then think about the video games that our children play. On these video games, they murder, rape, and pillage in these games. And to win these games, they have to do these things expressly forbidden by the Bible. And that dulls their sense of abilities. It truly does. Now, I want to read what the great radio commentator Paul Harvey once said on one of his messages, and I'm quoting directly this next section here. And this is Paul Harvey. "If I were the devil, I mean the prince of darkness, I would, of course, want to engulf the world in darkness. And I would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I would not be happy until I have seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I would set about however necessary to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. Do as you please. To the young, I'd whisper, the Bible is a myth. And I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is good, and good is square. And in the ears of the young marrieds, I'd whisper that work is debasing, and that cocktail parties are good for you. And I'd caution them not to be extreme in their religion, in their patriotism, or in their moral conduct. And to the old I would preach and teach them to pray, say after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And if I were the devil, I'd educate the authors in how to make more lurid literature and make it exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. And I'd threaten TV with even dirtier movies and vice versa. And then, if I were the devil, I'd get organized and infiltrate unions and urge them for more loafing and less work because idle hands usually work for me. And I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. And I'd tranquilize the rest of with pills. And if I were the devil, I'd encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline their emotions. Just let them run wild. I would designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts in the land, and I'd get preachers to say, she's right. And with flattery and promises of power, I'd get the courts to rule what I construe as against God and in favor of pornography. And thus, I'd evict God from the courthouse, and then secondly from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress, and then from his own churches. And I would substitute psychology for religion. And I would deify science because that way men would become smart enough to create weapons of destruction, but not wise enough to control them. And if I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a booze bottle. And if I were the devil, I would take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious And then my police state would force everybody back to work. And then I could separate families, putting children in uniform, women in coal mines, and objectors in slave camps. In other words, if I were Satan, I'd just keep on doing what I'm doing. Paul Harvey, have a good day. Isn't that awesome? Didn't he say it all there? So what he was saying was the devil is a deceptive foe and a destructive force. Now, most importantly, and this is the conclusion of the message, he's a defeated foe. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise Jesus. Now, the devil may be powerful, but our God is all-powerful. Praise Jesus. And ultimately, the kingdom belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to Satan. And those who follow the world and Satan are going to end up going exactly where he's going, and that's to hell. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So it's not mastery over the devil we need. It truly isn't. No, we need to know the master over the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We need to know him. And how do we know him? I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him in relationship, abiding in him, living in him, trusting and obeying after we've repented and trusted. And that's how we're going to have victory over the devil. Now, there's three cords that run through the entire Bible. The first one's the black cord of Satan's revolt that we've covered in this message and his plan. The other is the crimson cord of the blood-bought redemption for all who trust and obey Jesus Christ after they've repented and trusted him. And then the final one is the golden cord of our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. He's coming back for us, for those who abide in him. And these are the three great themes of the Bible. You know, when Jesus went to that cross, he said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And then in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, that's the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. So praise Jesus, because those in Christ have defeated the devil, have defeated him through Jesus Christ as we took up our full armor and stand praying against the wiles of the devil. So if you want to learn more about that, listen to SDG 93, the weapons of our warfare, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and sword of the Spirit. Listen to message number 93. And then you're going to be able to stand in the name of Jesus. But you cannot stand without prayer. Remember that. So Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, deliver us. And that's the key. Sidlow Baxter said, surely Satan and his demons say, keep them from praying. For if we keep them from praying, we can beat them every time. But if they pray, they'll beat us every time. So the point here is that you cannot overcome the devil without prayer. So, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. And you do that by praying to our Father. So is he your Father? Are you born again? When God becomes your Father, then Christ becomes your Savior. But remember, first he must be your Lord. Then Satan cannot be your master. Now, I love you all. I truly do. So go out in confidence, knowing, like the old story says, there's victory in Jesus.
Precious blood atoning. There
Praise Jesus. I just love that song. Did you catch that one stanza in there that said, "And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought me the victory. Go out now, standing on these truths, and have victory over Satan in your life. I love y'all.